Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. I was trying to work out whether Dr. Meinberg, when he said medically highly discouraged, does that mean don't do it? Is that what he was trying to say?
I think he was saying don't do it.
Okay, all right. I just wondered what the alternatives were to don't do it. Do something else?
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, maybe he'll come up with another suggestion. So, indeed. Tell us about the fact that the Chinese ambassador to Israel was found dead yesterday morning in his residence in Herzliya. Wow.
Yeah, well, it is a wow, not only because of the fact, obviously, that a foreign diplomat is found dead in his home unexpectedly, 57 years old. There was no indications at all that this could have happened. There seemed to be no underlying issues, health issues, that might have caused any concern. He's only been in Israel for a few months. I think he arrived in February of this year to take up his position as the Chinese ambassador to Israel. He is married. He does have a son. His family did not accompany him to Israel. So he was effectively alone in the ambassadorial residence when he was found dead yesterday morning. The first suggestions are saying that he died of a heart attack, that he had cardiac arrest, and that is the end of that. But of course, there is always a little twist to this tale, and the twist really involved the visit of Mike Pompeo to Israel last week, U.S. Secretary of State, because the Chinese link is a very strong link, and there have been reports leaked out in the press that China was apparently a very hot topic of discussion when Mike Pompeo was here last week to meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu and other Israeli dignitaries. Now, we know that the American administration has a big issue with China. First of all, there's a lot of blaming over the coronavirus, whether this was something that was lots of conspiracy theories about whether China did something either negligent or maybe even intentional to release the coronavirus. We'll park that for a moment because we know that that's a long topic of discussion. But it does link into this whole issue of 5G. And 5G is obviously the fifth generation of cellular networks where there is concern that Chinese manufacturers who are producing infrastructure for 5G, which the US amongst other countries is now rolling out to try to improve the quality of our cellular connections. There have been a lot of accusations directed towards China that the government is getting involved in the manufacturing of the 5G equipment, and that some sort of listening devices are being planted within this network equipment, within the infrastructure, and that China effectively is going to be able to pick up on the world's cellular communications in the event that we decide to implement the equipment that's being manufactured in China. So there are lots and lots of issues within the whole US-China relationship. And Israel has become involved because Israel has quite a strong connection with China, lots of economic activities between Israel and China, not least of which is that Chinese companies are getting involved in running some of Israel's ports. And the US government has been trying to encourage the Israeli government to somehow get rid of those Chinese contracts in support of the US government's economic actions against China. So, of course, when Mike Pompeo was here last week to talk about China, the Israeli branch of the Chinese government, the embassy in Israel, the Chinese embassy, also released some statements to say accusations by the US government are unfounded and unfair, and that we're relying upon our Jewish friends, our relationship with Israel, in order to effectively rebut a lot of the accusations which the Chinese are claiming are unjust and unjustified. And then all of a sudden, the Chinese ambassador dies unexpectedly in his home in Herzliya. The events, of course, at the moment are unlinked until we prove otherwise. But one can't help this clearly fans a lot of conspiracy theories about those discussions last week and this sudden unexpected death of Ambassador Du Wei, who had only just taken up his position in Israel.
Wow. very, very interesting to see how the story evolves. I wonder if we will ever know the truth behind it. Israel is suffering from a heat wave that has already claimed the life of one person. Tell us about this heat wave.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had quite an extended sort of period of spring, which is relatively unusual for Israel. Usually by the time we get to Pesach, it's already quite warm and the weather is getting, you know, to stable. The rains have long gone and we're getting into the summery weather. That's not happened this year. We've had rain until quite late in the day, even as late as a week or two ago, we were having rain. And now all of a sudden, the summer has arrived with a vengeance. 42 degrees on Saturday in many parts of Israel. Today, the forecast is that the thermometers will hit around 39 degrees. So all of a sudden, we've moved from lockdown with a bit of rain outside and relatively cool weather to lockdown with air conditioning on full board. Of course, the lockdown is easing, so it is a little bit less stressful, let's say, in terms of people having to be ventilated and air conditioned at home. And a lot of people are now returning to work in their everyday activities in some measure. But certainly this heat wave has come very, very unexpectedly. And there was a man in Dimona who had suffered from a heat stroke and actually unfortunately passed away as a result of this sudden dramatic increase in temperature and, of course, humidity to go with it. So, of course, if there's lots of warnings going around, people need to drink, people need to be in air-conditioned facilities, stay out of the sun, wear a hat, all the things that are sensible that you need to do. I noticed that I got a telegram message from my local municipality with all kinds of instructions as to how I should behave in the heat wave. And this is apparently going to go on at least until the end of the week. So the Israel Electric Corporation, of course, is at its maximum capacity in supplying electricity for all the air conditioning that's now suddenly required.
Crazy. Seven Iran-backed fighters were reported to have been killed in an air attack against Syria that has been attributed to Israel. What's known about these attacks?
Well, what we know is that these attacks took place in the area of Aleppo, and that, you know, there were conflicting reports. Apparently there were some large explosions that were heard early on Saturday morning in Aleppo. The Syrian state media later denied that the explosions had actually been caused by an airstrike, but there were certainly quite strong reports that foreign unidentified planes had been around in the area. We understand that at least seven Iranian-backed militia have been killed in this. So there must, something must have happened, even though the state media are seemingly denying it. And apparently that there were some people who were quite seriously injured as well. So perhaps that death toll, is going to increase. And we understand that this area that was, targeted, the area around Aleppo International Airport and also some sort of an artillery school, which is based just southwest of Aleppo. And we understand that Iran has quite a strong presence in that area. And so I don't think it's just coincidental that these explosions were heard and people have been killed despite the denials. Of course, the Israeli government not being drawn at all to either confirm or deny these reports. But, you know, one can put two and two together, and it seems quite likely, I would say, that Israel may well have been involved, especially when you look at the targets and the fact that people were killed and how accurately these particular locations were hit, these Iranian bases, within a base even, around the Aleppo area. So, you know, I don't think we'll hear a great deal more about it, but clearly Israeli intelligence and the Air Force are very much in action, despite the fact that people are perhaps thinking about other things as well.
And tell us about the confusion with Israel heading back to school. How did that go? Because yesterday all schools were open, is that right?
Well, yesterday officially all schools were open, and this came quite suddenly, a late announcement on Thursday or even Friday to say, as of Sunday, all schools will be open, but with social distancing applied. So I'm not sure that it was really particularly well thought through. I think it seems to have been quite a sudden decision to suddenly open all the schools up. It was being done, you know, very gradually in a very staged way. First of all, grades 1 and 2 returned along with grades 11 and 12 to allow them to get their courses done for the final external exams that will be coming up in a very, very, very near term, before the heat of the summer hits. So those students were returned to school quite quickly. Then the kindergartens were opened. Also a little bit of confusion. There was, some days that some kids would be at school and some days that other kids would be at school in order to try to divide the classes up and to make them smaller, in order to preserve social distancing. And then all of a sudden, all schools are going back, which was a very, dramatic, well, not dramatic, but an unexpectedly fast decision that came around at the end of last week. But we've got some issues, and the issues are, first of all, limited public transportation to the schools. At the moment, the transport system is only allowed to carry a certain number of people to allow people to be distanced within the buses. So approximately half capacity are being carried on the buses. And it wasn't, there wasn't enough thought given to how school pupils who are not within walking distance of school will actually be able to get to schools without proper transport. The issue of air conditioning wasn't particularly well thought through because, as I understand things, the requirement is that all windows in the classroom remain open. That's a requirement. So whereas some people are saying air conditioning cannot be used, I think that's not correct. I've seen reports which said that actually officially air conditioning is allowed. But, of course, in days when it's 39, 40 and 41 degrees, having your air conditioning on with the windows open doesn't really help a great deal. And it certainly doesn't allow for a conducive learning environment to allow students and teachers to concentrate on material. So that doesn't really help a great deal. Obviously, the divisions within the classroom, how children are going to sit, how pupils are going to be divided up in the classroom in order to preserve social distancing, requiring pupils and teachers to wear masks at all times during the school hours, and especially in 40 degrees of heat, is you know, not an insignificant issue. And also so many other things, like how does one preserve social distancing within the playground? So effectively, by putting children back at school, you're kind of graying the edges of social distancing, because we know that children don't preserve social distancing, and that's effectively what we are accepting by opening up the schools. Then there were reports of three different teachers who actually were diagnosed with corona after having returned to school, and all of those children having to go into isolation as a result of having been exposed to someone with corona. So obviously, where you get groups of people like at a school, larger groups of people together, and there is the aspect of someone being diagnosed, it just means that many, many more people will need to go into isolation. So still a lot of confusion. There was a report yesterday that parents have the option. They can decide whether they wish to send their children to school or not. No obligation, but really the responsibility is that of the parent to decide whether it's appropriate to send their children to school. So a lot of confusion around this issue.
Yeah, and I'm sure this, it will continue to be that, just simply because it's not a perfect situation, and one has to be very fluid around how it is implemented, I guess.
I think that that's the point. I mean, I don't think we know enough. We don't have enough experience. So we've all become experts. Howard, you've discussed this with Dr. Meiberger in some of your vlogs as well. Your podcast about, you know, the fact that we've all had to suddenly become medical experts and know everything. And that's evidenced by the fact that to some extent, parents are now having to make decisions where they're not properly equipped to make them. Everybody has a slightly different view. And of course, then the heat wave comes and people flock to the beaches when the beaches are not really reopened. So they've said the beaches will be reopened on Wednesday. Mm. So what's the difference between Wednesday and Saturday?
Absolutely.
When it's 42 degrees and people want to go out? Why, what is the difference of those few days?
100%.
Well, you know, all of that is a little confusing to us, unfortunately.
No, it is indeed. Time is 8:01. Anthony Reich, thank you as always.